will increase your efficiency 20% if you learn to do the tough things first, the ones you don't want to do.
Ray Zinn now imparts his management philosophy in Tough Things First. In this series, Zinn covers it all, from the essence of human happiness.
If you're going to make it a consistent practice of working Saturdays just because you think you've got to work 80 hours a week to be successful, you're just flat out wrong.
To the downside of venture capital.
People said, well, don't sweat the small things. Well, I guarantee if you don't sweat the small things, the big things are going to become a mess.
And the essence of entrepreneurial discipline.
Don't want to wait until you jump off the cliff to grab a parachute.
Now here's Ray Zinn, Silicon Valley's longest serving CEO and today's guest host.
Hello again, and welcome to another episode of the Tough Things First podcast. I'm your guest host for today, Guy Smith. And as always, we're picking the brain, the wisdom, the experience of Silicon Valley's longest-serving CEO, Mr. Ray Zinn. And today, we're going to be talking about cheap money and borrowing. Every business has a temptation to borrow money. I think every human being in a capitalist society has a temptation to borrow money. And we are, at least as of the date of this recording, still in a period of exceedingly low interest rate, cheap money. And so this brings to fore the questions that I think our audience is interested in. When is debt the right thing to do? When do you know that, you know, the cheap rates are as good as they're going to get? How should you balance your borrowing against your cash flow, et cetera, et cetera. So with that, Ray, hello. Good to talk to you again.
Well, thanks, Guy. Good to be with you this morning.
Always a joy to be with you. Now, we have cheap money. I get to say that because I just closed a refinancing of my house yesterday, and I'm just still stunned at how little I'm paying for cash right now.
You mean for interest? Yeah, interest.
Yeah.
Okay, cash, right.
So when it comes to business, there's always a temptation to borrow money. I think some companies borrow money because they're not frugal internally and they think they have to get excess capital from the outside. Let's first start off by talking about when do you think it's right to borrow? What are the key elements that say, you know, borrowing is really the only thing that we should, you know, consider for this particular situation in our business?
Well, as you pointed out, money's really cheap now. I've never seen it any cheaper than it is right now. I mean, it is about as cheap as it's going to get. I mean, if any of you who had your money in money market or in treasuries, I mean, you're getting less than 1% back on your money. So you're obviously, if you got cash, you know, you're not going to benefit from that by borrowing, because if you put your cash to work, you're not going to get much for it. And so you might as well use your cash, unless, of course, you don't have the cash. And then, of course, you don't have much of an option other than to go out and borrow. You're not going to find, over the next couple of years, you're not going to find money any cheaper than it is right now. So if you have your ability to refinance your business, refinance your building, refinance your home, whatever it is you can to refinance and get that lower interest rate, you ought to do it, because I don't see interest rates going up at least for the next couple of years. So now's the time, if you are in need of money, and you have the ability to go out and borrow, now's the time to do it. I mean, they're almost giving it away.
Well,
in fact, I would say they are giving it away.
I've got to believe that this applies to so many businesses out there that may already have a debt load and have an opportunity to transfer that debt to a new lender and shave several interest points off of what they're currently giving to the bank.
Absolutely. You know, what I did actually is I took some of what I was going to pay for taxes, and I invested that in the market. And then I took my line of credit, and I borrowed on my line of credit to pay my taxes. So, cause I was gaining about 4.5% to 5%, using my money to invest in bonds and some stocks, and paying only a couple of percent, on my borrowing, on my line of credit. So I'm picking up, 2 or 3, 4% by using the bank's money that I borrowed rather than my money, because I can't use my line of credit to invest with. So I take the money that I earn and dump it into the market and then use my line of credit to pay my taxes. So I got to be careful, because someday I'm going to have to pay that back. But right now it's cheaper for me to borrow the money to pay my taxes than it is to actually use the money that I would have used for taxes and put that back in the market.
That is a clever little do-si-do. I wish I had a tax problem big enough for me to justify doing that, but maybe down the road I will. Well, let's get back to the business side, because businesses occasionally are just way too tempted to borrow. What are the legitimate triggers for borrowing, regardless of what the interest rates, and how would a lower interest rate change that equation?
Well, if you have the ability to borrow, depending upon, what you have to collateralize the loan with, you can use it for buying a property, investing in like your building. Maybe you're renting instead of owning. You might consider buying your building, and therefore you would eliminate that rental, that monthly rental or lease payment that you have to make. So those are the kinds of things you can do. If you need new equipment, if getting new equipment will help your efficiency and make your business run more efficiently, then you could use it for that. Don't borrow money for things that have no physical value. Borrowing money, for example, to go on vacation or to eat out, or just going on vacation. Then those are things you want to avoid. Don't borrow money for tangible things that you can collateralize that have value, long lasting value, not just to, as you say, a vacation.
Well, and to my mind, one of the great things that cheap money facilitates is the ability to move forward on strategic things that may not have been possible in the past. I mean, your semiconductor industry, we know that building a fabrication facility is way, way expensive. But I've got to imagine that there are situations where when money is really, really cheap, a company can then take the risk and say, okay, we're going to bet bigger than we could have last week to do something, to buy something, to make a strategic change that's going to put us one step ahead of the competition.
As long as it's collateralizable. In other words, if it's physical, like even inventory, if it's something that's physical, then yes, but not on intangible, like, vacations or just things that don't have lasting value. Whenever you think about borrowing, make sure it's got a physical relationship. In other words, that you can actually collateralize it. That's the key, because at some point that interest rate's going to go back up again, and you might have to dispose of that asset to pay off that debt.
Yeah. Now, is there any category of spending that you've seen other companies borrow against, which you figured was foolish? Is there something that some business leader is really tempted to go to the bank and borrow on, and they really, really should not?
Well, things that depreciate fast, like cars and boats and airplanes and stuff like that, you want to avoid that. Okay. So, another example, even though this is one of the hot topics that we're discussing now, is your educational borrowing. In other words, people who are borrowing money to get an education, that is an intangible, meaning it's not something you can collateralize. Now, you can gain something from it when you put that education to work, but a lot of people are just running a big, massive educational debt, or student loans, and now they can't collateralize that, so That's something that's going to be hanging over their head for some time to come. And I think those interest rates are pretty fixed too on student loans. So if you can figure some other way to borrow, but not against intangibles, not against these things that don't have tangible value that you can collateralize. So avoid anything that's not tangible. That's what you want to do, is just make sure that whatever you are purchasing is tangible and has lasting value, something that's going to have at least a five-year lifespan.
And even if it's intangible, a little bit of careful thinking about what to do. I was having a conversation the other day with an air conditioning repair guy. This was a guy who right out of high school decided to go to trade school because it was cheaper. He could see what the rate of income for somebody who repaired air conditioners were, et cetera, et cetera. And he was cursing up a blue streak because some politicians want to cancel student debts for guys who went off and studied Russian literature. He felt really cheated that, you know, he spent money out of his own pocket to go to trade school, and he was now being asked to give tax money to, you know, finance other people's education that lacked any real economic value.
Yeah, well, that's going to happen. I mean, you know, with this spreading of the wealth, as they say, or reallocation of wealth, you're going to have that happen. Life is not totally fair. You know, there are going to be things that are going to work for you and work against you. You know, even when Donald Trump did that, you know, lowered the taxes, it actually went up for me because I had two pieces of property and I can only write off the taxes of one of them. So actually my taxes went up. But you know, other people's taxes went down. So it depends again where you are when things change. And so, you know, maybe that you'll end up with, you know, paid off your student loan and then somebody else gets it for free. But that's just the way it is. That's why we live in a democratic society. So not everything goes in your direction. Sometimes it will, sometimes it won't.
That's very true. One of my favorite writers, PJ O'Rourke, his teenage daughter once, you know, shouted, "Well, that's not fair." And he said, "You better hope it doesn't get fair. You're a white female in America. Things get a whole heck of a lot worse than that."
That's true. Yeah.
Well, thanks again, Ray. And for the audience, if you find this podcast compelling, then you've seen nothing yet. You need to go get a copy of Ray's book, Tough Things First. In the annals of business and leadership books, Tough Things First is arguably the best one that's out there. Not only is it kind of a top to bottom study about entrepreneurship, leadership, management, executive thinking, but a whole bunch of wisdom into how all of this ties together and also as part of a humanistic organization. So by all means, it's got to be on your must reading list. I know for a fact it's required reading at least a couple of business schools in America. So if you have not bought it and read it, do so before the day is over. And Ray has two other books out there, Zen of Zen, Z-E-N of Z-I-N-N, and Zen of Zen 2. And these are small little bite-sized nuggets of wisdom covering everything from management to humanity to leadership to life as we know it, the nature of honesty and relationships. And if you're looking for holistic thinking about life in general and how it intersects with business, you're going to be hard-pressed to find better material than these three books. So, Ray, again, thank you very much. Always a joy to share some time with you, and look forward to doing it again.
Well, thanks, Guy. And again, those two new books, Zen of Zen 1 and Zen of Zen 2, are golden nuggets. In other words, if you like mining gold, you'll love these two books. Thanks, Guy, for this podcast.
You've been listening to Tough Things First, candid talk with Silicon Valley's longest-serving CEO, Ray Zinn. Drop by the contact page at toughthingsfirst.com for more about the book, more podcasts, and links to Ray's Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn pages to keep up with Ray Zinn's wisdom daily.